today, a branch of Al-Qaeda in Yemen is claiming responsibility for the attack last week on the satirical publication Charlie Hebdo in Paris. Those claims have yet to be verified. They were made by one of the terrorist group's leaders in a YouTube video released today. And in France this morning, the latest Charlie Hebdo issue hit newsstands with a new cover depicting the Muslim prophet Muhammad. It did not stay on newsstands for long. Many shops say they were sold out before daybreak. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik is here to talk about the new issue with us. He joins us from New York. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeremy.
And first of all, have you been able to get your hands on a copy or a digital copy of the new issue and what's inside?
I haven't. You know, it's not a magazine or publication that's normally sold here in the States. And while there were some hundreds available here in New York, they were snapped up pretty instantly. What we do know is that on the cover, we've seen the image, or you can find it online, image of the Prophet Muhammad there. And it's, you know, they're returning to the well to the depiction of the Prophet that, you know, in some ways kicked off so much controversy for them over the years and led to this terrible attack. It would appear just last week.
Well, we've talked a little bit about that cover, and it's a cartoon depiction of the prophet. There's a tear running down his cheek. He's holding a sign that says, Je suis Charlie, and above him is a sign in French that translates to the English, All is forgiven. But there are some questions about what the meaning of that cover is. Do we have any more sense about what it is?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There was a press conference earlier this week in Paris, and one of the cartoonists involved in designing the cover said, this is not the cover that perhaps the public wants us to do, and it's certainly not the cover the terrorists would want us to do. He used that word mindfully, I think. He said, you know, we didn't depict the terrorists, the killers. We depicted the Prophet Muhammad, whom he described as being a man, a good man, and shown as tearful and regretful of what's happening there. Now, you know, as we've discussed on this program, Charlie Hebdo is an intentionally transgressive, provocative publication. They enjoy flouting you know, not only conventions but pieties about major figures, institutions, and faiths. And they've really gone to the well repeatedly about Islam and particularly, you know, jihadists and people who would impose Sharia law on others. And there's this tension inside French society about, you know, the growth and arrival of more Muslim immigrants there. But this very cover appears to many observers to contain, you know, a cartoonish depiction of male genitalia. In the depiction of the Prophet Muhammad, again, if true, very provocative. If perceived to be true, very provocative, and intentionally so. You know, this is not something that's been denied by the artists. I think one of the editors there said, you know, people will see in it what they want to see. But, you know, they're saying our kind of anarchistic depictions are going to continue, even as on its face you might think, well, this is a tearful moment of reconciliation. I'll say one other thing. Inside there's an editorial, according to translations of what's appeared inside, which says the Je suis Charlie, a hashtag and a slogan embraced by so many world leaders and figures in recent days, that they're saying that we are secular. And that's, you know, there's a strong strain in French society stamping out an official role for religion there. And I think in part a spur to the tensions with observant Muslims in that country. And this publication has been sort of very firmly left of center, but also very firmly anti-establishment of faith in the public realm. And so you're seeing – he's saying not only is it an affirmation in Je suis Charlie, an affirmation of free speech, which I think is what leaders and journalists across the globe have said and ordinary citizens as well, but he's saying it's also a very secular notion of society.
Well, and it's not very difficult to see this image online if you want to find it. You can Google it and you'll find it very easily. But you can't go to the websites of many news organizations, including NPR and The New York Times. They've decided not to show this image. And we've gotten a lot of emails, comments from listeners, David, asking why that is. Why is NPR not showing the cover of this very newsworthy publication right now?
Right. And I think it's worth distinguishing between two strains of that, one of which was immediately after the killings. You know, many journalists, many Americans, many people abroad said, you know, it's important to republish the cartoons that appeared in Charlie Hebdo to indicate we will not be cowed and we will stand for freedom of expression. Separately, there was an argument in not only many but almost all newsrooms about whether or not you publish images journalistically as part of your news coverage that you would not ever think adhered to your own standards and practices. The kinds of transgressive cartoons that appear in Charlie Hebdo would not be part of NPR's regular fare, would not be part of the New York Times or the Washington Post, the LA Times. But different news organizations had to think, you know, are we going to publish this as part of our coverage? The Washington Post last week published a single Charlie Hebdo cartoon on its editorial page as part of its commentary about the issue, but also in some ways seeming to signal its stance for freedom of expression. The Washington Post in its news pages only did so this week, which felt that this week's cover was worthy of reproduction so that readers could understand what was at stake. NPR has taken a firm stance and said this does not meet our standards. We can characterize it. We are primarily known as a broadcast network, but obviously a very vibrant and live website as well. We can characterize it, describe it. We can do little images and excerpts. And I've got to say that, you know, as the media critic, not speaking for NPR in any way, but I've said and I will say again that I disagree. I think it's worth reproducing as part of coverage. But I would also say this isn't 1975 or 1978. You know, we live in an age where images are a click away, and if people want to find it, they can find it in, you know, the galleries of websites like the Daily Beast or Slate. And I think it's more likely to be found in those news organizations that don't have a major presence of journalists as we do, as NBC does, as CNN does, as the New York Times does, in place conflict areas where the tensions over the role of the Muslim faith in public life are paramount. And that is that where reporters could be in some ways and their fixers and their translators could somewhere be at harm. I think that is one of the elements playing into this decision.
But isn't that then letting, for lack of a better phrase, the terrorists win? If they can do this attack on this the people at this publication, and then other news organizations decide, well, we're not going to do what they found offensive.
Well, I think you've seen this surprising unity between secular people on the left who are not people of strong faith and strong conservatives who believe that there is essentially an Islamist movement in some ways in clashes and in tension with the West, and many of whom may group Muslims who do not speak out routinely against the kinds of attacks that we saw last week in Paris and lump those Muslims in with that, even if they have nothing to do with it. You've seen this union say, well, it's cowardly not to publish it. And there's some journalists who just say on free speech grounds that Jason Weisberg, who's the, oversees the Slate Group, for example, says all the more reason to do it now. And yet, you know, you're in this tension. Either you're being cowardly and you're allowing people to stamp this out, or you're essentially turning over your own news pages to the people whose own standards are very different from your own every time there's a major controversy. And that's the editorial tension you're seeing. I personally happen to think in this moment it is newsworthy to incorporate it in a smart, contextualized way, and that news organizations can treat their audiences as grown-ups, even if it's online, put a little warning screen to say click here, but know that these images will be offensive. But in this day and age, it's not fair to say that those images aren't otherwise available, and therefore I think to accuse news organizations of cowardice is ungrounded.
NPR's David Folkenflik. David, thanks so much.
You bet.